respond? We're going to be in the book of Jonah tonight for a minute, if you want to start there. So I had the privilege of filling in for, the 3rd through 6th grade class last week. And I hadn't taught down there in quite some time. And I forgot how much I enjoyed it. It's a good group of youngins down there. I really enjoyed interacting with them. Y'all got some pretty good kids, in case you didn't know it. They were good for that hour anyway. It's just amazing what comes out of their mouth. I know things about you that you... No, just kidding. That's a joke. That's a joke. They did a good job, though. So, last time I taught, I think I opened up by talking about the death of Billy Graham. I think it was a couple weeks ago when that happened. And there was another death today. My phone tells me all this stuff. I don't know if you guys knew about Stephen Hawking's passing today. So Stephen Hawking was on a different end of the spectrum than Billy Graham, I'd say. He spent all his life exploring creation, space, time, the deep things of our world. And he had some pretty, I tell you, he boggled the minds of some of the smartest people out there, including mine, I got to tell you. And, you know, I don't know anybody's heart. I would never pretend to. I barely know my own. But I do know that when we say things, sometimes it gets recorded. And I said things 20 years ago that I'd be ashamed to admit I said today. And my views have changed over the years. So I'd never want to be defined by any given statement that I've made. And I wouldn't want to do that to anyone else either. But he had a lot of writings around the deeper things in life. And one of the things he said in some of his writings was the humans are a lot like computers. And their brains, eventually, when the last component fails, the computer stops. And the brain stops. And there's no heaven for broken computers. Yeah, so he had a theme, that kind of theme in his writings. But I'll tell you, whether you be Billy Graham or you be Stephen Hawking, everyone's equal on that day. And we're all judged by what we've done here. And whether we've said yes or no to what was offered here through this Bible. No one escapes that. We all get that decision. So we'll all stand before God. And when we all have talents, maybe we don't have the brain power of a Stephen Hawking, and maybe we don't have the charisma of a Billy Graham, but the way we're going to unlock what we do have is we're going to be obedient, and we're going to say yes to what Christ offers us in our lives. And that's part of the lesson here tonight. If you will, turn to the book of Jonah, chapter 1. It says in verse 1, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." So there's something very special happening here in Jonah's life. Don't miss the fact that Jonah just got very clear direction from God. That's a very special thing when that happens in our lives. I don't care if you're a preacher. I don't care who you are. If you get a clear word from God that is direction on something you should do in your life, that is a very special thing. It doesn't matter what kind of noise is going on. It doesn't matter what kind of situation you're in your life. It doesn't matter where you are as far as the end of your rope, the middle of your rope, or you got everything under control. If you get a word directly from God, you have just received something very special. That word in a storm can quiet everything. Everything around you can be turmoil and chaos, and you get that word on your heart, everything can be peace. And folks go, how are you doing this? And you know it's because God spoke into your heart a peace. I usually don't get into other people's business, but I have a buddy that I'm working close to that's kind of self-imploding. And I've watched it and tried to help now for about, 3 months. And it's getting worse and worse. I went and sat down with him the other day and I said, well, let's just say I started giving him some pointers. And I said, now, do you want to hear more? And he goes, yeah. And his eyes kept getting bigger and bigger. And he said, okay, I got it. I said, no, we're not done. It's about to get worse. And he goes, all right, what? I said, first of all, you got no peace. You're anxious about everything. If you don't get grounded in something that's grounded, you're going to fall apart. We have to be grounded in something that is grounded in our lives. We have to be grounded. We have to hear that voice from God. We have to have an anchor in God's Word, or we will fall apart. There is not anybody that can give us advice that will help us. I can't say anything to you that will pull you through a situation. But a word from God, just one little whisper, is enough to take you 3 years from now, 5 years from now. I look back on a whisper I got 10 years ago and it means something to me. 20 years ago. That word from God will settle us, it will ground us, it will put us where we need to be. We need to always be listening for that word. And when we get it, we need to heed it. When we pray about something that doesn't make sense and we get direction and there's peace in that direction, that's the direction. No matter who advises you otherwise. Jonah got direction in this situation. But Jonah had a problem. He didn't like the direction. We all know the story, right? Jonah did not like the direction because the Ninevites were the enemy. And God told him to go to the Ninevites and give them the word. He said, I won't go. We always have a choice to say yes or no. Now let's pick up over in Luke 5. Jennifer asked me, what are you going to teach on tonight? And I said, I'm going to teach on Peter and I'm going to teach on Jonah. And then I didn't say anything else. She said, I don't get it. I hope y'all get it. Then I actually never did explain it. But, so over in Luke 5, here's a picture of Jesus speaking to a crowd. And the crowd started to press on Jesus because they were trying to get close to Him. They were trying to hear Him. Jesus was by the seashore or by the lake and He looked over at some boats that were parked there and He said, hey, I need to borrow one of these boats. Can I take one of these boats? So Jesus gets on a boat and it was Peter's boat and asked Peter to push it off the shore a little bit. So that put Jesus in a situation kind of like I'm in today. He was higher than the group and he was further away so nobody was pressing on him so he could share a sermon or a message with the crowd. Now, Peter had never met Jesus. Jesus was young in his ministry, and Peter got to hear this lesson that Jesus gave. After he finished the lesson with the people, he looked at Peter and he said, let's go out in the deep and let's cast our nets. Peter goes, I don't think you understand, Lord, because we were out there all night and we were working and we were trying, and we were fishing. And I was just, when you came up, I was washing my nets. I'm tired. There's nothing out there. He said, let's go out into the deep and let's cast our nets. So Peter trusted and said, yeah, okay, all right, I will. So he cast his net, and what happened? All that empty ocean that was out there the night before, all the fish started coming into those nets. And he filled the nets. And he pulled the nets up. And there were more fish than he could bear. So he called over the other ships. And they ended up filling two ships with so much fish that they began to sink. So in that moment, Peter was obedient by saying yes. Yeah, you can use my boat. Then he was obedient by saying yes. We'll go out there and we'll cast in the deep. And because he said yes to Jesus twice, he was given an abundance of fish. Peter had a choice. He could have said no. Jesus looked at that situation and said, "Come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men." And what did Peter and his crew do there? They left everything. They forsake everything and followed Jesus. Now I want you to look at Peter's life. Just that one encounter with Jesus where he was obedient. Peter went from a fisherman that was not going to leave much of a mark on anything to a disciple that ended up being the link between the gospel and the Gentiles. Peter was the mechanism that Jesus used to connect the Gentiles to the gospel. Not just for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. He was the one that allowed that Jesus used to graft in all of us into the ministry. Peter walked on water because he was obedient. Peter was used to carry upon this rock, is what Jesus said, upon this rock, upon Peter, upon the statements that Peter was making, upon this rock I will build my church. Peter ended up being the cornerstone, a cornerstone for Christianity, because God was able to use him. And it's not because he brought anything, any talent to the situation. He brought one thing. He brought obedience. He brought obedience, and God was able to use that to do great things amongst the world. Not just the world of Peter's time, but thousands of years across the world, he was able to use Peter and use that situation. Now let's go back to Jonah. So Jonah said no. He had a choice. So Jonah said, "No, I'm Nineveh. No, that's not where I'm headed. I'm going to Tarshish." Tarshish is not in the direction of Nineveh. He didn't even pretend he was going to go. So he went and contracted a place on a ship that was headed another direction. The ship gets out into the ocean, and they get into a storm. And the ship's being thrown in the storm. Everybody's worried. Everybody's concerned. They're all looking at each other. Why is this bad thing coming on us? Who sinned? Who did wrong? Who amongst us has a problem that needs to be dealt with here? Obviously, God is bringing wrath to this situation. And they looked around the ship, and they were asking everybody to pray to their gods. Everybody, pray to your gods. Let's get this thing straight. We don't want to die. They looked around, and they found Jonah. What was Jonah doing? Somehow he was sleeping. Somehow in this situation he was sleeping. I guess he had settled himself to his defiance, and he was going to get some rest. So they woke him up, and he admitted, "Hey, I think this is about me. I think this is about me not doing what I said I was going to do, or doing what I should do." And they cast lots, and lots fell on Jonah. And Jonah said, "Well, hey, I get it, guys. Just throw me overboard." I don't know why they didn't do that. They said, no, let's stick it out. So they started trying to row through it. They said, "We'll stick it out with you, Jonah. We get it." But it wasn't going to happen. God's wrath was on the boat. God was throwing it around. It was about to be broken apart. So they agreed, "We'll just go ahead and throw Jonah overboard." We all know the story. They threw Jonah overboard and the sea went calm. Then a big fish was sent to scoop up Jonah. And in that situation, Jonah was stuck in the belly of that fish. You can say no. You still have the right to say no when God sends you a direction. But some of us are going to get in a belly of a fish type situation. Some of us are going to suffer if we say no. Some of us are going to get on the wrong side, and we're going to get in a very low place in our lives if we say no to what God's asked us to do. You can still say no. But you might end up in the situation that Jonah was in. So Jonah repented, and he was, and God commanded the fish to vomit him up on the shore. So he was in the direction of Nineveh at this point. So Jonah goes into Nineveh, and he starts to preach in the streets. And it says the city was so big it was a 3-day walk. So he was preaching in the streets, and to Jonah's disgust, the Ninevites repented, every one of them, all the way up to the king. Wore sackcloth, sat in ashes, repented, and turned to God. Now, it would make you mad too. Because one of the readings that I went through to kind of get ready for this lesson said that the Ninevites, they said, don't pick on Jonah too much, because the Ninevites would be like ISIS today. It'd be like us going and having to witness to ISIS. If God told you, Brother Jamie, your new purpose as a preacher and as an evangelist, as a pastor, is to go into ISIS country and offer them the gospel. That wouldn't be the easiest yes of any of us here. So Jonah didn't find that yes either. He found an easy no. But the Ninevites repented. You would think Jonah would be happy, right? He went and sat on the edge of a town in the desert and pouted and said, I'll surely die out here. Just kill me, God. I can't stand this. God says, are you right to be so angry? Oh yeah, I'm right. Let's just go ahead and get this over with. Just go ahead and kill me. It's amazing to me that sometimes when we're finally obedient, And we get the blessing that God's put in front of us, we complain about the blessing that now we've got care over. Listen real close. Sometimes God blesses us in a situation, and then we find that situation a burden for us, and we complain about the situation that we're in. God, I'd love to have kids. Just give me kids. Just give me a family. I'd love to have a home. Just give me a good job. I'd love to have a good job. And you get in that situation, and all we can do is complain about this thing that we've got care over. We need to be very careful about that. We need to be very careful that we keep things in perspective and don't dismiss the gifts that God gives us when we are obedient. So Jonah and Peter both were posed with a direction from God and a question from God, and both of them made different decisions. So this is kind of the heart of the message I want to get across tonight. For years, I've kind of had a personal prayer that I've prayed. A lot of times I start my prayer with, God, I have nothing to bring. I got nothing to offer. I come empty-handed. I got no talent. I got no strength. I got nothing. But as I was studying out this lesson, I was thinking, I'm not sure that's totally true. It's true I have no talent. It's true I have no strength. But God left us something. He actually left something in our hands that we have full power over. And I really didn't see that until just now. Just the last couple of days. What I have in my hands that I can withhold is my will. It's my obedience. I can withhold that because God left that under our power. He left that with Adam and Eve. He left it with Abraham. He left it with Moses. He left it with Peter. He left it with Jonah. He left it with Adam. He left it with Brother Mike, Brother Jamie, Brother Daniel, Brother Lee. He left it in all of our hands. Because He needs us to make a decision. He needs us to open our hands and hand over our will to Him in obedience. If we can do that, and when we do that, He can take the rest of it, and He can turn a fisherman into something that changes generations. If we can hand that over, He can take a simple person like Billy Graham, a gangly young farmer, and He can turn him into the evangelist for 2 or 3 generations. He can take someone like me, and He can actually do something with them and make something of them. If I will hand over that will, and I will hand over that in obedience. We've got that choice, and we will have that choice in salvation. That's really the only choice we get every day, is, am I going to be obedient at this point in the day? Am I going to be obedient at this point in my life? Am I going to be obedient in this situation? If I'm willing to give up that will and give and align my will with God's will, God said that if we would do that, all things would be added unto us. He'll take care of all the other business. Matter of fact, He said, I will hand your enemies over to you. I will make a path for you. Over in Deuteronomy 8, He's talking to the children of Israel. He says, I will deliver your enemies to you if you will be obedient. So, as we pray and as we think about our lives, and we think about getting aligned with what God would have us to do, and we think about getting in a situation that God can bless, really the only thing we have to offer is obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice, is what I hear. Why is that? Because I got nothing to sacrifice. What am I going to sacrifice? Give God my money? Oh yeah, He's really short on money. He doesn't have any access to any kind of riches or money. God can scoop up all the money and all the access to anything out there that He wants. He can scoop up all the gold out of all the mines. Just like that. He can scoop up all the oil out from under all the ground. He's got all that under His power, under His control. Maybe I could offer Him my vast intellect. No, even if I were smarter than the average person, God doesn't need anything I've got to bring. So Hawkins said in some of his writings that, and I don't follow his work, I was just reading up on him today, but he said, you don't need God to explain the universe. Science explains every bit of it. So I find that interesting, because what's in the universe? I mean, let's start breaking this thing down. Let's really break it down. Let's really think about what's in the universe. I can take any fine corner of any piece of the universe, any piece of our physiology, any piece of plant life, any piece of rocks and stones out there, any kind of wood, and I could break it down and I could say, how can you explain this at a macro level or a micro level without there being a creator involved? It's all too complex. It would be like me taking this phone apart and laying it on the ground and just watching and waiting for it to come back together and come back to life. You don't just create something out of nothing. They say if you put a monkey in front of a typewriter, eventually they'll type a sentence. I mean, eventually. But now get them to type a paragraph or type a book. Things don't just happen. And even if you could explain the physics or the physical world, how do you explain the emotional world? How do you explain love? How do you explain the feeling of peace? Where does all that come from? I'd say we're being overly simplistic, and maybe we're outsmarting ourselves if we try to explain all this without God in the picture. So, my brain doesn't even go places. I mean, that guy, he had formulas. He was explaining black holes. He was all kind of theories out there in space, and the math added up. But you can't explain away what we're experiencing here. And you can say, well, all that stuff's not real. I've heard that argument. Well, it's not all real. Matter of fact, we're not even here. Okay. Well, let's pull that thread. Where's that going to land us? Okay. So let's just think ourselves into an absolute corner. Are you here, Brother Daniel? All right then. That settles that. So we got nothing to offer God in our intellect, in our talent. Some of the folks that had the greatest impact on the world, their impact was only for a short time, only for a few generations, and then they're forgotten. There are pyramids, there are great monuments created thousands of years ago that we don't even know who they were for. And nobody's going to make a monument for me. Maybe some of you, but I'm not guessing I'm going to leave this world with any monuments left behind. None of us measure up. None of us measure up to the greatness that God has. So, what is it that we have to offer? All we have is our will and our obedience. And from that, God can do everything He needs to do. And if we withhold that will, if we withhold that obedience, there's a point, there's a price to pay. There's a personal price to pay. And eventually, God will get His purpose accomplished, maybe through someone else. I don't want my purpose. I don't want my Peter experience, the impact that I should be having, to be put on someone else. Because I'm not willing to be obedient. Now, if it's theirs, and if it's theirs to experience, if it's theirs to have, and it's their impact to give, and it's their purpose, I want them to have it. But if it's mine, and it's what I was meant to do, I don't want to give that up because I was not willing to be obedient. I've got to protect what God wants for me, and you've got to protect what God wants for you and for your family by being willing to hand over that will and that obedience. Thank you for your attention.